Okay, so morning, guys. It's really great to be with everybody this morning, and it's been fantastic. So thank you so much to Annie and to Paul, and of course to Jesus for showing up, which always helps. So you can see this morning we're on the third week of our series looking into God's Word, and my talk is entitled Word DIY. And I'm sure that for each one of us, the words DIY bring up different memories, maybe good memories of doing up a house, or maybe frustrating memories. I know that one of Mark's memories, building a certain fence with myself, a bit of a frustrating memory probably. You can ask him about that later. But for DIY, you basically need three things. Oh, let's get the clicker working. And the microphone. Is that working, Susan? Oh, sideways. Oh, that would help. Yay. Okay. So the first thing that you need for DIY that's absolutely vital is motivation. The second thing that you need is you need the right tools to do the job. And you need the know-how. So those are the three things that I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to be talking about the right tools and the know-how, kind of like practical ways to help you to get into the Bible. And hopefully, whether that is something that you are just doing for the very first time, there might be people here that have never even read the Bible before, I'm hoping to give you guys a good start and a few pointers of how to start doing that. And for those of you that have been a Christian for a long time, maybe you've read the Bible a lot, for you guys, I'm just hoping to give you a bit of freshness, a few new ideas, something to keep you going for the long haul, something to give you a bit of new inspiration to get going with that. And then for all of us, for me personally, I think the most important thing is actually motivation. And really, I want everybody in this room to go away today just excited and expectant and looking forward to kind of getting into the Bible afresh and learning more about God and yourself and going deeper with him through some of the things that we'll hopefully talk about this morning. So that's what this morning is going to be about. As some of you guys might remember from last time I talked, I don't like to do all the work. I like you guys to get involved. So what I would like everybody to do, Mark and his welcome team, the lovely welcome team of boys we've got today, they're going to hand out some worksheets. Don't get scared by the word worksheet. It's really just if you fancy making any notes, it's got the references on there because I'm not going to put those up on the screen. And also on the back of the page, there's loads of info that you can look over at home to kind of back up some of the things I've been saying. And it means that hopefully you'll have all the resources I'm talking about just there on the back of the sheet as well. And as well as doing that, what I would like you guys to do is to get into pairs. So with the person sitting next to you, if you're not close to anybody, please move, go and sit next to somebody. And if you've been coming to River for a long time and you see some new guys that may be looking a little bit lost right now, please go and pair up with them because everybody needs a pair. I don't want you in threes, just twos, because we're only going to have a short time to talk about the different questions that we have coming up. And the first question that I would like you guys to discuss, there are two questions. First one is, how often do you read or study God's Word? So just quickly with your partner, you've got about 2 minutes. And then the second question, why do you read the Bible? So just with your partner, off you go. I'm going to set my timer. You've got 1 minute to keep discussing those two questions for me. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. So if you haven't got to the second question, then have a little think about that one. Um, Okay, guys, let me bring you back in there. I'm sorry, I can only give you short little breakout times, otherwise it will take my whole time. But I'm not going to ask you to feedback on the first question in front of everybody, so you're safe there. But what I would like you to do is just shout out any answers that you guys came up with for the second question. So for you personally, why do you read the Bible?
Better knowledge.
Better knowledge? To get through the whole thing. To get through the whole thing. Always a good.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. God speaks to you through it. For help, to learn about God. Fantastic. You guys came up with pretty similar reasons to me. The following is not a definitive list, but it's just my list of the things that I came up with for why I read the Bible. So the first one is that the Bible helps me to get to know God. We did a series very recently called The Big Story, where Colin was talking and giving us an overview of the Bible. And that was really clear through those few weeks with him, how much we can learn about God and about who God is and what he wants for us and what he wants in relationship with us through reading the Bible. And in 1 John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being the Word. Jesus later then says that all scriptures point towards him. So actually, when we read the Bible, we get to know God, we get to know Jesus. And for each one of us that have made that commitment to follow Jesus and to be in a relationship with him, obviously, in a relationship, you want to get to know the person. That's a really important key thing. And that's definitely one of my motivations for why I read the Bible. The second reason is that the Bible actually helps me to get to know myself. We pretty much think of ourselves, we generally understand ourselves in the context of our story. So where we've come from, what experiences we've had growing up, you know, who our family is, that's what really gives us a sense of identity. And actually, the Bible answers loads of the big questions about our identity. So why we actually even exist in the first place, and you know, where we came from, what we're here to do, who we are. There's loads of questions about our identity that we can get the answers to from the Bible. We can also learn a lot just through the stories of men and women throughout the ages, just in seeing their reactions and their responses when they come into contact with God, when they have tough circumstances, interacting with different people and different situations. We can learn a lot generally about mankind and who we are as a whole. But we can also learn about ourselves personally. There's a verse in Hebrews 4:12 that kind of talks about the Bible acting a little bit like a mirror. And it says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And so God's word, actually, when you read it, it can highlight things that are in your heart that maybe you didn't even know were there. So it really helps you get to know yourself, not just generally in a general sense of identity, but also who am I right now and how am I feeling right now? What am I thinking about this right now? So they're my first two. Helps us to get to know God. It helps us to get to know ourselves. And the Bible actually is going to transform me if I read it and if I get into it. It's going to transform my heart and it's going to transform the way that I live. We heard from that verse that God's word is living and active. It's alive. And in John 6:63, Jesus said that the words he spoke were spirit and life. And I'm sure that most people know the parable of the sower, which talks about God's word being like a seed which goes into our hearts and grows there. So it's alive, and it actually will work and do things in our life. There's a verse in Isaiah 55, chapter 55, verse 11. And God says that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he desires, and it will achieve the purposes for which he sent it. So it's alive when it's when we read it. It's going to live in us and change us. Psalm 1 talks about the man who delights in God's law and meditates on it, that he's going to be like a well-watered tree that brings forth fruit, and that everything he does will prosper. And I'm sure you guys remember we heard from Gary last week another scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, which talks about scripture being useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So God's word is alive, and it's going to transform my heart and transform the way that I live my life. So we get to know God, we get to know ourselves, we'll be transformed. Not just that, but it's actually going to help me with life. And I challenge you guys tonight when you go home to read Psalm 119 that we heard from earlier from Mark. And it's just an amazing psalm. The whole psalm is talking about God's law, about God's word. And there are so many things, so many little gems in that that help us see actually what God's word can be to us. And the psalm says, God's word revives me. It says that it encourages me. It gives me life. God's word gives me hope, and it's my only source of hope. God's word means that I will walk in freedom. It comforts me. It restores my joy and my health. And the word of God sustains me with joy. It says that God's word gives me wisdom, guidance, and understanding, and is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So in real practical ways, the Bible is actually going to help us get through life. And my final point is that actually the Bible, sorry, not my final point. You guys were getting excited then, just in the first section. the Bible is going to help me live more like Jesus did. And when I was preparing for this morning, I kind of reread through the Gospels, but trying to look at them with the lens of kind of Jesus and the scriptures. And I was just blown away by what I saw, because Jesus's whole existence was so totally wrapped up in the word of God. It was like soaked right through him. And everything he did came out of that, the way that he lived, the way that he thought about himself, the way that he thought about God. And it's amazing. Basically, anytime anyone came up to him and had like a question or a thought or accusation to bring against him, the first thing that he would say is like, don't you read the scriptures? Didn't you read this in the scriptures? The scripture says this. And then he would go on to like expound the truth of God's word and to basically help people to see and understand who God is, who they are. Like he challenged tradition. He challenged culture with scripture. He challenged the way people thought, their attitudes, how they felt. It's just amazing. When Jesus came up against Satan, and you guys probably know the story in Matthew 4, where the devil basically comes and starts speaking lies to Jesus. And immediately his initial thing is just not his own strength and trying to come with his own ideas of countering that. It's just literally God's word, God's word, God's word just comes out of him in that time of trouble when he needed it. And if you look at the only story we have of Jesus growing up, it's a story of him at the age of 12. And just a story that shows that even right when he was a boy, one of his main concerns was questioning God's word, thinking about what God's word, working through God's word, to a point where, his questions and thoughts were astounding scholars at the time who studied the Bible day in, day out. And there's this 12-year-old boy who is just his world. It's what he wants to know about and understand. So, I genuinely think that the main focus of Jesus is 30 years before he started doing all the miracles and things at 30. That's the biggest thing that he was going to be doing, spending time with God and spending time understanding God's word and what it said. And you know what? 30 years, that prepared him for 3 years of, like, amazingness. So my final thing was, there was one thing that Jesus said to this group of religious guys in Matthew 22. When they come to him with, like, yet again another silly point of theology. And he basically is really blunt, and he just says to them, your problem is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. And when I read that, it really challenged the socks off me, because I just thought, wow, I think you could probably say the same of me. And I've always had this a little bit of a struggle with thinking, Jesus said we're going to do greater things than he did when we were on the earth. And, you hear stories of healing and you hear stories of people living in a way that's bringing heaven to earth. And you think, I'm not really seeing that in my life very much. And this really spoke to me. And I just thought to myself, wow, like Jesus knew the scriptures and he knew the power of God. And he lived both of those things out in his everyday life. And he transformed the world around him and the people around him. And for me, that was a massive challenge. And I just thought, man, if that was true of me, I'm sure that I would be living much more like Jesus did. So, little breakout time. Oh, I have to click loads of times, apparently. Right, so 30 seconds with your partner. What ways do you use currently to get into God's word? Okay, guys, I'm going to call you back together. I'm not going to ask you to feedback for this one because I'm sure that you will have come up with all of the same things as me, so I will just get on with it. So what different ways, what different tools are there to help us to get into God's word? And the first most obvious one is just read it. It's a book. Just read it. And I was really challenged at this conference one day. There was a guy called David Porson who was speaking, and I was quite a young Christian, and he basically posed us this series of questions. And the first question that he said was, who here thinks that the Bible is the most important book in the world that's ever been written? So, of course, you know, we're at a Christian conference. Everyone's hands, yeah, of course, I think that, you know. Maybe there's a few rebellious teenagers who get their hands down, but who knows. And then his second question was, well, who here has read any book cover to cover? And, of course, everyone's hands stay up. And then he basically said, well, who here has read the Bible cover to cover? And, you know, I'm young, naive, just brand new to this whole thing, and I'm thinking that, you know, most people's hands will stay up. Literally, guys, maybe I'm going to do a percentage now. 15, 20% of the people's hands stayed up. Everybody else is just like surreptitiously kind of shamefully drop a little bit. And I was just blown away, and I thought to myself, oh my word, some of these guys are really old, and they've based their whole life on this book and the Bible and what it says, and they haven't read the whole thing. What? So for me, that was my very first challenge. And I was like, right, I'm going to start now. I'm going to read the whole Bible. So I started reading the Bible in a year. It took me about a year and a half, but that was fine. And that's something that I've tried to do ever since, because I just thought to myself, I base my entire existence on this book and on the premises and the things that it says, and that doesn't make any sense if I haven't read the whole thing. So that's a little challenge for you. If you've never read the whole Bible and you've been a Christian for a while, then yeah, you should really probably do that. So there's loads of different ways actually to start getting into the Bible. If you've never read the Bible before and you're brand new, maybe you're just exploring faith, thinking about stuff for the very first time, I probably wouldn't start right at the beginning because you might just get lost after about the first five chapters. I still do that sometimes now. But just start in the New Testament. And actually, I have got a New Testament with me today. If there's someone here that doesn't have a Bible, I would love to give it to you. So come and see me at the end. But there's loads of ways that you can get into reading the Bible. There's daily reading plans, which kind of break down different verses and different chunks that you can read each day. For myself personally, I like the Bibles that you can buy, which are actually pre-split up into their 365 readings. So you don't have to worry about like flicking backwards and forwards. It's just there for you, nice and easy. And actually, I like the ones with numbers, so you don't feel guilty if you miss a few days. That's just a personal preference. And as well, you get loads of daily devotionals where people have put their time and their heart into writing a book where they've like different sections every day that are just going to help you to stop and think and get a little bit challenged about what you've been reading. So devotional Bibles, daily devotionals, there's loads of ways. You can sign up for a verse of the day, or you can even get devotionals emailed to you now. There's a fantastic phone application that's also on the internet called YouVersion, the Bible app. So if you haven't got that on your phone, I'd recommend look it up in your apps. Have a look on the internet, just Google YouVersion. And that, you know, you can read the Bible in all sorts of different translations on there. There's loads of daily devotionals or reading plans that you can follow. There's a word for the day there. You can even click and listen to it rather than read it. So, yeah, that's always really helpful. And the other thing with reading is I just say you need to find a version that you like. Like, for me, I was brought up on the King James Version, and when I became Christian, I was like, I think I'll get a better one than this. Not that that's a bad translation. Different. I think I'll get a different one, thank you, babes, than this. So for me personally, I like the New Living Translation. But I know that if you are struggling with the translation you've got, just go to Quench. Tony and Claire are quite happy to give you four or five different Bibles to there. Sit and have a read, have a look, and they'll help you to choose a translation that is going to work for you, something that you can read and really God can speak to you through so that you understand it. So the first thing is just read the Bible. Get on and read it. Okay, the second is listen. Something that me and Mark have started to do, which I'm finding really fresh, because once you've read the Bible in a year quite a few times, sometimes you're just a bit like, oh, I'm just reading it again. Actually, you can listen to it. So there's something called the Daily Audio Bible, and it's dailyaudiobible.com, and you can download podcasts or you can just listen to it on the internet. And it's basically just a really lovely guy, American guy called Brian, who reads the scriptures, and then he'll give you a bit of a devotional time at the end, like he'll maybe pray or challenge you on something, or there'll be a song to listen to. And for me, that is a really awesome way of getting the Bible into my everyday life, because Mark listens when he's washing up. For me, I listen when I'm on my way to work, like in the car, or if you're just going for a jog, you can be listening to the Bible anytime. It's great. And like I said, YouVersion also has an audio button. So if you struggle with actually reading, that's fine. You can listen to it and God will still speak to you through it. And of course, there's loads of sermons online. All the sermons that you have at River Church, they're on the website. iBethel is a really good website to get different sermons and podcasts going. So read the Bible, listen to the Bible, and meditate. Oh dear. There we are. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word meditate, my immediate thought is kind of somebody sitting in a funny pose with their hands weird and kind of emptying their mind of all thoughts. And actually, that's Eastern meditation, which is kind of bad for you, and I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. But biblical meditation is totally different. Biblical meditation is about filling your mind, and it's about filling your mind with God's word and with God's truth. And it's really just kind of filling your mind with something from the scriptures, a verse or a truth that you're wanting to think about, and just like mulling over it, pondering it, taking time, some quiet time to actually think about that idea or that thought or that truth. And one book I read talked about meditating on scripture being a bit like a cow chewing the cud. And actually, a cow can take in loads all in one go, and then it kind of puts it in the first stomach and then brings it back. But gross, has a good old chew, and then goes into the next stomach, and then it brings it back again, and it keeps doing this until all of the goodness is out of that grass and it's got everything that it can get from that grass. So for me, that's a really good concept to keep in our mind when we're thinking about meditating on scripture. So read, listen, meditate. Memorize. Right, hands up if you can remember the verse from earlier. Susan Rimmer, up you get. Your hand went up first. Woo. Come on, Susan. Who's brave enough to tell us the verse that they learned earlier from Mark? You can do it. Go on, Susan. You don't have to have the mic. No, you don't have to do the knees. Who could do it? Who could do it? Come on. Can everybody do it? Okay. Oh. I'm not going to do it. You guys are remembering. Nice. Okay. Well done, guys. Very good. So there's lots of different ways that you can memorize scripture. Singing, chanting, that kind of thing does really help. But the main thing is just trying to get it into your brain. So write it on some flashcards, review it, think about it, try and say it out, test yourself like you were when you were revising for your exams many years ago. And actually, this is something that's really challenged me that I'm going to start doing after preparing for this talk. I'm going to start memorizing scripture again, because actually, if you know it, if it's in your head and you've got the actual words of God in your head, they can come out whenever you need them. You know, when you're under pressure, they can come out. When you need to share something to somebody, or you need to speak into someone's life, you can speak authoritatively with God's word, because it's coming straight there from your brain. It's right in there. And actually, it also can become like a bit of a language that God can speak to you through. So he'll just like prompt you about a verse to think about. And it means that you can meditate on it wherever you are, even if you haven't got your phone and your Bible app on it, because it's in your head. So you can just sit there and mull it over. So I think memorizing is actually a little bit underrated nowadays, but I think that it's really, really important. And if you just literally Google memorizing scripture, there are so many systems out there to help you. I didn't bother bringing any for you guys, particularly because there are just loads, so you can choose what you fancy. So memorize, it's good. Gets into your heart, gets into your head, and you can use it, and God can use it. And the final point is just study. And I know Andy Reid said a couple of weeks ago, in this day and age, there are so many resources, so many ways that people have prepared for you to help you to get into studying God's word. We're like, I mean, if you imagine it through the ages, and it's like nowadays, we just like have this banquet already prepared for us by other people that is just there and accessible and available. Any Christian bookshop that you go into, if you go into Quench, you'll find there are loads of Bible studies. There are hundreds of different versions of the Bible that have got Bible studies alongside them, like study Bible guides. Online, there are like unbelievable amount of resources online. You could just Google any passage you like and you'll find Bible studies. And obviously with that, I'd suggest that, you know, keep a little bit of wisdom in your mind, because some people write some funny things. But you guys, when you get to know the Bible, that's fine. You can work it out for yourself. And there's a couple of really, really good online tools that I'd just like to talk to you guys about really briefly if you haven't heard of them. One is BibleGateway.com, and the other one is called BlueLetterBible.org. And they're both on the back of your sheet. On the back of your worksheets, I've done a whole list of things that will hopefully be helpful at home. And those two internet sites are just amazing. You can basically look up any passage in any translation. You can click on words and see what they were in the original Greek or Hebrew or whatever they were written in. You can see commentaries from all sorts of different authors about those verses, and just anything you need. It kind of takes away the need to have all these massive big concordances and big books in your house. You just have the internet and your Bible, and it's amazing. And really, what I just wanted to finish with in this section is to say, I don't know if you guys remembered a couple of years ago, Colin did a talk and he had a sponge and a bucket of water. And he was saying about when you spend time with God in his presence, it's like soaking in the bucket. And then when you come out and get squeezed in everyday life, then it's God's love and God's heart that comes out. And actually, I think it's really similar when it comes to scripture. And personally, I would say that the first two, reading the Bible and listening to the Bible, is kind of like just pouring water over that sponge. And some of it goes in. But if you're anything like me, after a couple of hours, you kind of forget maybe what was said or what you'd read. And actually, these last three, meditating on scripture, memorizing scripture, and really studying it for yourself, taking the time to interact with God's word for yourself on a personal level, that is like soaking in the bucket. And that is what's really going to make a difference in your life when things get hard, or when you're in a situation where you want to bless somebody. You know, that is when the water is going to squeeze out of you and God's truth is just going to flow out of you if you've really been spending time there with him. So 2 minutes with your partner. We've talked about five different ways there. Just have a really quick chat. Which of these would you like to try after today? So maybe something you've done before you'd like to start doing again. One of them that maybe just popped out at you. Okay, fantastic, guys. I'm going to bring you back together now for our final section. So we've looked at motivation. We've looked at why get into the Bible. We've looked at some of those tools that you can use to help you get into the Bible. And my final section is know-how. And just kind of looking at some really helpful practical hints and tips for when you're reading and studying the Bible. So the first and most important one of all of them is that you need the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit there with you when you're reading, when you're studying. Because actually, God's word without the Spirit's presence can just be really dull and dry and kind of academic. And that's not the idea of it at all. We want to connect with God through his word. We want him to speak into our lives and change our hearts. And that's going to happen when the Holy Spirit is there, bringing life and creativity and light into what you're reading. In John 14, it talks about the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth and teaching us everything. And in Genesis chapter 1, when God made the whole creation, you've got the creation story there, you see this really powerful combination. It says that the Holy Spirit was hovering, his presence was just there, and then God spoke. And then that's when he created, that's when life came, that's when light came. And it's the same for us when we read the Bible. We need the two. We need the presence of God as well as his word being there. So I would genuinely just say, just start by inviting him there every time and be there with like an expectant heart saying, actually, God, you are going to show up and speak to me through this. And have a pen and paper with you, or your diary, journal, whatever you use, because actually then we can write down what God speaks to us through his word. We can remember it. We can mull over it. We can think on it later. So we need the Holy Spirit, and be ready for him to speak to you. The second thing that we need to think about when we're doing all this is we need to be prepared to apply what we learn, so to live out what we learn and make it real in our lives. Because actually God doesn't want to just give us all this head knowledge, which is like, oh, thank you, God, that's a really cool thought, and then carry on with your everyday life. He actually wants to change our hearts, to change our lives, to make us different people. There's a verse in James 1, verse 22, which says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And probably most people know the parable of the wise and the foolish man. Jesus told it when he was here on the earth, and he said that the foolish man just is one who like listens to Jesus' teaching but doesn't put it into practice in his life. And that is like building a house on sand. So when the floods come, when stuff gets hard in life, it's just going to wash away because it doesn't have any foundations. But the wise man is the one who listens to Jesus' teaching and puts it into practice in his life. And that is like building solid foundations on a rock, so that when stuff gets tough, it's not going to get washed away. It's there. It's stable. It's giving you a foundation for your life. And I was listening to this talk by Bill Johnson. He said something, he kind of put it in a new way that I hadn't thought about before. And he said, people content themselves with good theology. They see a truth, but never require it of themselves to experience it. And that really challenged me, because I thought, you know, we need to require of ourselves to experience what God speaks to us from in his word. Because otherwise, it's kind of just like standing on top of a hill, looking out at all the good stuff that God's got for you, looking out at your inheritance and what he's promised for you, but never actually living in it and never actually walking it out. So we need to be able to apply it and actually be reading it with that heart attitude of, God, I want to apply this. I want to make this part of my life. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need to apply. We need to be practical and realistic. So you need to develop habits that are going to work for you. So for me, I don't have any kids. I'm a gymnastics coach. I have a certain rhythm of life, certain times in my day that might be free, things that will work for me. I also have a personal preference of, I like to read this version and I like to get up early or whatever. But you need to be practical for you and work out, okay, if this is something that I'm going to weave into my everyday life, it's got to be something that's going to last for the long haul, not just I'm get really excited, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. for the next week. Yes, come on, God. And then in 2 weeks' time, it's like, that totally doesn't work for me. You need to work out something that is going to work for you. So I would say work out a time and a place and stick to it. So set it so that it's regular every day. Some people in books I read talked about a no Bible, no breakfast rule. That's probably for the early birds amongst us. But actually, you know, when Jesus was countering Satan in the desert, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. And that's how he lived. And I think we need to live in the same way, to be honest. But for you, you know, maybe you're a late bird, so you could change it to no Bible, no bed. You know, you can't go to bed until you've got into your Bible. But at least if you do it early in the day, if you miss it, you can kind of try and slot it in later. If you've left it to late at night, then that does make it a bit harder. If you're a diary person, write it in your diary. For me, I think I'm going to start doing that because I live by my diary. So if it's in my diary, it's much more likely to happen. And the other thing that's really important with this is try to get the Bible into your day in lots of little ways. So do it little and often. Have small things throughout your day. So like maybe I'm going to get up a bit early, read this, and then I'm going to have the daily audio Bible when I wash up or when I walk there. And then I'd like to get an email with a devotional, because then if I miss one, I'm not going to miss all of them. So actually that's going to really help to keep it going throughout the day. And the other good thing about all the kind of online stuff like YouVersion is that there's really good things now where you can just share it. So you can put it on Facebook, share it with people, you can text it to somebody. I know there's some guys at church that text each other Bible verses every day, and they've been really encouraged by those. And there's been certain days where someone's been feeling down and the other one's text them something that's just really lifted their spirits. So again, just have a think, is there someone at church or a friend that you could do that with? Just lots of little ways. There's another really great way that you can start. If you're kind of excited about the studying thing that I've been talking about, over the next 6 Sunday mornings, we're going to have a Nourish group here at 9:30. I don't know where it is, Kerry. one of the classrooms at the back, basically Nourish is like a Bible study technique that looks at a verse and really breaks it down and works out what do all these words mean and kind of look up the meaning. And it's basically a tool that will help you. And if you can't make all 6 weeks, then work it out. You know, maybe your husband needs to look after kids 1 week, you look after them the next week, and you guys take alternate times to come and then share with each other what you learnt, whatever works for you. But I would really encourage you to come along to some of those. That would be fantastic. So we need to be practical and realistic about how we do this. And now this really is my final point, you'll be pleased to know. So this is actually the most important one, guys. We need to be intentional and committed. And actually, it is a discipline. If you want to get into God's word and spend time with God every day, you need to discipline yourself to do that. You need to set yourself to do that. But Jesus promises that actually if we lay down our lives for him, if we give him our time, if we give him our energy, then he's going to give us life. And it's going to make such a massive impact on your life if you commit to do this every day. One of my friends from Christians in Sport always talks about the Christian life being like a marathon and not a sprint. And he asks himself the question, what can I be doing to make sure that in 10 years' time, I'm still on fire for Jesus? To make sure that I haven't given up, that I haven't fallen away, but I'm still going for it, that I know him more, that I love him more. And actually, I've lost my place. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, he says, let us run with endurance the race set before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And actually getting into the Bible every day, that is going to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And that is going to keep you on fire with him, living for him, passionate about him, so that in 10 years' time, you're still going for it. And I was personally really, really challenged about the whole marathon runner thing, because I looked up online about marathon runners, and a lot of marathon runners, they do that as well as like a normal job. So this is just a hobby for these guys. Some of them obviously are professionals, not very many. Most of them, this is something they do on top of everyday life. And when you look at a marathon runner's diary, oh my goodness, like their training diaries, I don't even know why anyone would ever want to start doing this. Every single day of the week, between half an hour and 2 hours a day, if they're not running, they're in the gym doing core training, and they only have 1 or 2 days off a month. Literally, I was expecting every week, rest day, none of it. 1 or 2 a month, that's it. And they literally train rain or shine, no matter how they're feeling, whether they're on holiday, they commit their energy, their time, their effort. Their heart goes into running a long way. I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, I don't get it at all. But I was like, oh my goodness, they can put that in their life and they can stick to it and be dedicated to that. And I'm really rubbish at having quiet times. Oh my goodness, there's something wrong with that. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and the Apostle Paul says, don't you realize that in a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. And I just want to challenge all of us. If there are people out there that can be so committed, so motivated, so dedicated, just to try to run 26 miles in as short a time as they can, which, to be honest, when they die, is that really going to matter? I just thought, you know what? How much more should we be able to give to something that has eternal significance? And I just thought, man, that was a challenge for me, as you can see. Sorry. you know, because actually we're giving into things that really matter, things that are of the kingdom, things that are going to change our life and the lives of those around us. And actually, the other thing just to finish with is God is no man's debtor. So whatever you give to him in terms of your time, he's going to multiply that. He's going to give it back to you. He's going to anoint and bless the rest of your week so that you end up with more time, more free time in your hands than if you hadn't spent the time with God in the first place. So what I would like us to finish with is just a little bit of, I'm going to give you like a minute, 2 minutes, just to yourself. So just to be quiet, really with God. And what I would like you to do is really be intentional about this. And I'd like you to write down 2 things that you would like to do starting today that are going to help you on this journey. 2 things that you feel you can commit before God to do to keep you going, to keep you reading, getting into God's word, getting into time with him. So I'm going to give you just a minute to do that now. So guys, if you'd like to, if you really want to make that commitment, one that you make before God, and you don't have to, it may be that you need some more time to process it all and to think about it, and that's fine. But if you'd like to, then I'd like you to stand and just hold that sheet of paper that you've just written on. And I'm going to pray for us and just ask for God's help with that. So, yeah, please stand if you'd like to now. Father God, we just want to lift these commitments before you right now. We just want to say that our hearts are just that we want to go with you, want to run with you. We want to get to know you more. We love you so much. And Father God, we just want to give our lives to you again, to commit our time, our best. We want to give you our best. And we just want to make these practical commitments before you now as a sign of that. And Holy Spirit, we want to ask for your help in this because we're just people, so we mess up. And just ask you to help us stay on track, to keep going. And we're just excited and expectant about what you're going to speak to us through your word this week and how you're going to transform our hearts as we do this and we journey with you. So we want to say thank you, and we're really up for it. Amen. Cool. Thank you, guys. So I'm really, really sorry about the time. Just on a really practical level, I have got some really good books that I've come across and over the years, and also as I've been preparing for this talk, I've also got some kind of Bible study notes that I'm happy to email you if you want to give me your email address. So please come over, see me at the back. I can talk to you through the books I've got and recommend stuff to you. I know that Tony and Claire are able to order those, and they've also got some really good resources in terms of Bibles, books, devotionals. And sometimes it really helps when you make a commitment to something to actually go, you know what, I'm going to buy a book and start fresh tomorrow. I'm going to buy something and put my stake in the sand and say, God, I'm serious about doing this. So I'd encourage you to come and see me and come and see the shop at the end now.